Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. My name is Rod.
And I'm Jess.
And 10 months ago, we quit our jobs, sold all of our stuff, and have been embarking on a global adventure with our two kids, 6-year-old Santi and 3-year-old Nora.
And while our name is the Jet Setting Family, during the last few months, we've actually been cruising. We've done a 7-night cruise through
the Eastern Caribbean.
And a 9-night cruise
through the Southern Caribbean. So we visited islands like Puerto Rico, Haiti, St. Martin, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao. And it has been a really eye-opening experience for us because I wouldn't call ourselves cruise lovers. At least before we went on this adventure, we didn't really consider.
You liked it more than I did.
Yeah, I had like a cruise in college where I went out with all my friends and we had an awesome time right before graduating. And then we did a Disney cruise when Santi was like 1 year old. And those experiences were very different from the ones that we just went on. So we wanted to take this episode to give you our 10 cruising tips, because although we've gone on the past two cruises.
Actually, three, if you consider our river cruise.
That's right. We went on a Cambodian river cruise.
Yes, I actually, before we get started on our tips for you, will say, I don't know if I was a big cruise fan to begin with, but now that we have kids, it has been a really great way. Well, now that we have older kids who can enjoy the cruise, it has been a really great way for us to see different islands and get a feel for, hey, you know, which island do we want to go back to one day and spend more time without having to pack up our stuff repetitively and move around, and all while having an amazing time. So like the cruise ship itself is a destination. There's so much to do on it. There's I mean, and the kids love the kids club and all the activities. So it's really been an amazing experience for us. We really, the last two cruises have been on Royal Caribbean and we have just loved them. And so
yeah, you're basically getting an appetizer of travel. So you're spending one day in these islands and you're trying to figure out, is this island a fit for me to come back to and spend a couple more days? Or is it something that
I'm glad I saw
for that day and I'm ready to move on to the next place? So it's a really good option for those of you that have limited time but want to experience a lot. Because believe me, after the end of your cruise, you're not going to be rested and relaxed. You're going to be pretty tired just because.
Well, that's if you travel like us. I mean, you could be rested and relaxed if you went without kids.
Yeah, no, but also, like, we highly recommend that you do all of these excursions and you go out and experience the culture of these islands and the different destinations that you go to. So it's just, you know, I think it's going to be a different experience for everyone. For us, we leave exhausted just because we do so much, but
with full hearts.
With full hearts. And we know that we definitely could have relaxed if we wanted to, but that's just not really our style. So with that said, we do have 10 tips for cruising. For those of you that are planning your next cruise or are considering on going on one, here are the things that we have learned over our past 16 nights of cruising.
So first tip, guys, is when you are boarding the cruise, a lot of the times they're going to take your luggage the second you pull up to like the drop off zone, and you can actually just hand your luggage off then and board the cruise without carrying it on. With that being said, your luggage may take several hours to arrive at your stateroom, wherever you're staying on the ship, your room. So if you're the type of person who wants to get on this cruise ship and jump right in the pool or do different activities, you need to pack like a little backpack or a little carry-on that's easy for you to take, isn't too big to lug around, for you to have for those first several hours. We have always gotten our luggage pretty quickly, but we know some people, you know, it might take 6-7 hours. So, you know, you don't want to be staring at that pool longing to get in and not have what you need.
Yeah, so pack things like your swimsuit, sunscreen, a change of clothes. And the benefit of that is a lot of people won't be up there. Most people will be inside the cruise ship, kind of walking around, going into their room, unpacking if they've received their stuff. So it's a really good opportunity to experience the kind of upper level pool deck, if they have one, if they have any water slides, if they have a sports court, all of the activities on that upper deck, just because everyone is going to be so focused on going on those kind of lower level and preparation kind of things.
Yeah, so it's a great time to do that. And we always try to get on as early as possible.
Yeah.
We just want to get our exhaustion started immediately. I don't know.
All right, number two, and that is also on kind of embarkation day, is yes, you're going to be wanting to go to that pool deck and hit that up, but also take the time to book shows and schedule any kind of specialty dining or reservations that you need to on that first day. Because trust me, those reservations and those shows, if they take reservations, are going to book really, really quickly.
Yes. So you want to make sure that whatever your top priority ones are, you've got your ticket. Another quick thing on the shows before we move on is if you, on some of the cruises, if you're not at your show 15 minutes before it starts, there's like a line you can wait in and then they will fill the seats up. Well, we did the mistake of our first show. We showed up right at like 8 or wherever it started.
Thinking we got reservations. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Our seats had been given away. That was our fault, not theirs. Mm-hmm. So if you do book a show, get there early, because if not, they just don't want seats to go to waste, which I totally understand. They want to give other people that opportunity. So go early.
Yeah. And before we move on, one of the other things that you can do on that first day is to sign up your kids for the kids club if they have one. A lot of the cruise ships will take signups on that day. And that's when you can kind of tour the facilities and get a look at what kind of activities your kids will be doing if they're at the kids club. So make sure that you take that time, because the following days when the kids club is in full operation, it's going to be hard to actually have time with the staff to ask them questions on what kind of activities there are and how they're going to be keeping your children busy. So make sure that you take that first day to talk to the staff and to sign them up.
So next tip we have, and this is a good one for the first day, because when you get on and you start to see all the activities that are offered, all the things you could do, all the shows, you start to get your itineraries set up. It can be overwhelming because you're like, I want to do it all. If you're like us, we want to do it all. And the reality is you need to accept the fact that you can't. We, even on a 9-day sail, we didn't do everything that there was to offer, because every day they give you, what is it called?
It's like a bulletin. Like a daily bulletin. Yep.
And I mean, it has like events every hour, every
pages
half hour,
upon pages
of things you could be doing at that moment. And so, you know, you have to just prioritize what's important to you and what you want to do, but you're not going to be able to do it all. And that's okay.
Tip number four is to hit the pools at dinner time.
Yes. So do this for sure.
One of the things that you'll see when you're especially having days at sea is that the pools and all of the upper level kind of pool deck activities will be so packed with people. But if you wait and you go to those pool decks around 5 p.m. when everyone's kind of headed down, starting to get ready for dinner, that is the perfect opportunity for you to enjoy a more quiet and relaxing kind of pool deck ambiance.
And you get to see sunset. I mean, it's beautiful.
Sunsets.
It's so beautiful. There's so many pictures we posted from our times on the last couple ships where they're like, did you get special access to the ship before anyone boarded? Because our pictures are seriously our kids or us, and there's no one in sight. Mm-hmm. It is just us, and it's sunset. And it looks like we have this giant Royal Caribbean cruise ship all to ourselves. The reality is we go at dinner time. And that means that typically for us, we plan a later lunch around 2 or 3 so that we aren't hungry. And we enjoy the pool from 5 to till
sunset.
Till sunset. Yep. Yeah. And we eat a later dinner and our kids just get used to that schedule on the ship. But it's just really nice to have the pool or the slides or whatever it is that your family's interested, to really have it all to yourself. Because I promise you, like 95% of the people want to go down and get ready for dinner.
And that kind of leads us to our next tip, number 5, which is to try to get on a flex dining plan. So one of the things that you'll see when you go on a cruise is you will have a set time for dinner. It's usually around 5 to 5:30 p.m. is the first seating for dinner. And then sometime between 7 and 8 is the second seating for dinner. For us, with kids that like to do activities and we're not as organized as we should be, we realize that
we don't like a schedule.
Yeah, it's really hard for us to go to that 5:30 or to go to that 7 o'clock
dining. We're at
dining.
The pool enjoying sunset.
Yeah, but I think the cruise ships have caught on and they have implemented these flexible kind of my time dining options. Granted, there are other dining options on board that you can experience, but the main dining is some really delicious food, and they do have a flexible plan where you can just show up, and if there's a space available, then they'll seat you, but you have to sign up for it. So if your cruise ship does offer that option, we highly recommend that, just because you're able to do some of the theme dinners, you get some of the really nice dining and meals, and it's just fun to experience kind of the main dining that they have to offer.
Yeah. So I don't know if every cruise ship does flex dining. Royal Caribbean did, and that's the best option that worked for us. Your other option for dining, which is more flexible as well to some degree, is if you buy like one of their dining packages that includes all the
specialty dining options. So they have these like themed restaurants, whether it's like the Italian restaurant that they have, or the Asian or Japanese, or the kind of hibachi grill.
That are an extra fee. Like you would have to pay out of pocket for it in addition to your cruise. So some of them have flex dining packages where you, not flex dining, but like specialty dining packages. Some of them have specialty dining packages where you pay a one-time fee and you can go to any specialty restaurant daily. And a lot of times those have open reservations at 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. A lot of people take those 5 to 7, 5 to 8 time frames, and you can get in for a late dinner last minute, which was something else we did.
Yeah. And when in doubt, if you do miss those times and there's no flexible dining option, you can still fall back to the buffet dinner. Usually there will be a buffet option
or kind of
a room service or a snack option like pizzas or sandwiches that you can definitely have, you know, a more relaxed, casual dinner at as well.
I think it just depends on what your personality is. We're not the biggest foodies, unless it's sushi. We're not the biggest, or Mexican. We're not the
or Italian.
Okay, wait.
Maybe we are a little.
We're not the biggest foodies, though. We're like, we don't go on the cruise for the food.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not us. We go on the cruise for like the adventure part. So, I mean, if you are a foodie, I mean, skip the sunset at the pool, but someone's going to be enjoying it and super happy you did. I don't know. Our next important tip is research your excursions before you arrive at the destination. You don't have to have it booked, but definitely have a game plan, because a lot of times you're at these ports for one day. You're there from, you know, 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. and you don't want to be wasting time putzing around on wherever you've landed trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Because trust me, and when you get off the ship, sometimes it's overwhelming because
you're going to get bombarded by people that are trying to get you on their excursion. And if you don't have a plan, then it just can be really overwhelming, not knowing, do I want to go to this one or do I want to go to that one? And then you get some kind of FOMO. It's like, am I missing out on something awesome that somebody's doing it when I'm just here trying to figure it out that day?
So, yes, research your excursions. Try to find a good fit for your family. Some cruise lines allow you, which Rod and I have done before, where we actually don't say we're bad parents, but if there was like an activity at one of the stops we really wanted to do and it just wasn't kid friendly, we would actually leave the kids on the kids club on board. We would go off and we would do our activity without them, and we would come back and pick them up and enjoy the last few hours as a family. Not all cruise ships let you leave the kids on the ship, I believe, but some do. And so that's been an option for us as well. But try to know what your game plan is before getting off.
Yeah. And also, before you get off, have a certain time that you know you have to be back. We shouldn't have to say this, but in the past couple of months, there have been news reports of couples and families getting stranded on these islands because they misunderstood the time that they had to be back and the ship left without them. Because trust us, the ships are not going to be waiting for you to get back on if you're late. They are going to leave you there and expect you to find your way back to wherever you need to be and get your bags sometime after the cruise. So make sure that you know what time you have to be back on board so that you don't miss out on getting back on the
ship.
And
don't just rely on like, oh, let me Google the ship we're on and it's on like this general like website. Because things change, guys. Like maybe, I mean, we've never had a real experience like that, but if the weather is changing, an event happens or whatever it may be, They may change your schedule by an hour or two that day.
Yep.
So when you're getting off the ship, they will have signs and it will be labeled and they will announce it like, this is the time to be on the ship. So don't ignore that and get off and be like, oh, I'll just Google it and see what the general itinerary is. Because, I mean, this is life. Cruise ships adapt to life.
Yep. Verify that your phone has the right time zone, too, because sometimes your phone won't update. Ooh, so you'll be behind an hour or maybe two or ahead. So just make sure by the time that you leave that the ship time matches the actual time on your watch, on your phone, on your timepiece.
We actually sailed. Actually, on our last sail, which was interesting, it was daylight savings mid-sail. Mm-hmm. And it got a little confusing. I'm not going to lie, because we were like, wait. So we were going through time zones and then there were time changes.
Yeah, some islands don't change time. Miami, where we set sail from and we're going back to, they did change time and we were moving time zones as well. So it just got really confusing. The timing will be weird, but ask and just double check, triple check before you leave the ship that you know what time you have to be back.
Yes, you don't want to be the person that they're calling for and then leaving behind. Oh, this is one that I know some people won't want to do. And we've done it and enjoyed it. Consider staying on board during
a dock day.
If you are a type of person who enjoys the cruise ship itself, I mean, there's people who go on cruise ships and really the cruise ship's a means to get to islands that they're excited to explore. And other people view the cruise ship as a traveling Las Vegas and they are excited to hit the casinos and the bars and you know, the whatever activities are on board. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons of things to do on board. If you're the person who loves the ship, stay on the ship when you dock. I mean, that is when the ship is empty. It is like your own private home. Mm-hmm. And it is a really cool experience. We stayed on board. You stayed on board with Santi once in Puerto Rico.
Yep.
And then another time we stayed on board because we had work stuff to do that morning. And then we had the afternoon on board. And it was actually, it was just nice. It's nice to have the ship pretty empty.
Yeah,
and to yourself.
Not having any lines. A lot of the times during the ship, the cruising days, you're going to have lines for like the water slides. You might have lines if they have ice skating, if they have kind of laser tag or other activities that are limited. Those lines will not be there on those dock days. So take advantage of it. If there's something specific that you want to do, like ride a water slide 10 times in a row, that is the right day, or those are the right days to be doing that. And yes, you might miss out on a little bit of the time at, you know, when you're docked, but you could still plan some time to go out and experience that destination in the afternoon. Granted, you won't be able to go far or maybe go into an excursion, but those ports usually have a pretty good, like well set up, port where they'll have lots of activities, lots of things, might have restaurants. So you'll be able to see a culture while you're there and still be able to enjoy the ship when it's very close to being empty because everyone's out.
Next tip is read your daily bulletin. It is so important to read the daily bulletin. Well, I wouldn't say important necessarily.
Yeah, but there's some really fun activities that they announce on the daily bulletin, but they don't really publicize anywhere else.
Yeah, so it's a great way to like know really what's happening and what's going on. It's a great way to know the weather of wherever you're going to go. It gives you like a weather shakedown so that you can
Yeah, and then there's also like classic cruise activities. There's always like the belly flop competition, the battle of the sexes, the like world's sexiest man competition
there's
at
like
the pool deck. There's trivia nights. It's just a ridiculous amount of activities. They have sales at their shops. Yeah, the list goes on and on. So make sure that you're reading it. It gets put into your room kind of the night before when they do the night turn down service. So before you go to bed, make sure that you review it so that you know if there's anything special that you want to see or if there's a show that pops up. Because sometimes they have like talent shows where the crew staff get to highlight some of their talents. Or they have like open mic night at the bar where you can go and sing, or parades, kind of random shows and bands and activities that pop up that you totally have to check out.
And there's also sometimes cruise ships have apps, and on your app you can like download the bulletin on there daily and it kind of keeps you up to date. But if you're a type of person who likes all those activities, read your bulletin and stay up to date on what's happening in the cruise world. Or on your ship, I guess.
Yep. Number nine is to pay attention to sales and specials. So one of the things that you'll see the first day that you get on board is all of the different sales, whether it's the, you know, dining package, whether it's the beverage package, whether it's like the luxury jewelry package. And all of these sales are going to come up that first day because they want you to get in right away. And you might feel pressure to purchase those packages there, but just know that if you don't do that that day, that doesn't mean that you're missing out on value, because throughout the kind of duration of the cruise, they're going to have different sales. So there might have, you know, 3 days before the ship gets back to port, you'll be able to get a different beverage package. You'll be able to get a beverage package on the last day in which you might have unlimited beverages for that day. So just know, yes, you're going to be pressured to buy stuff during that first day, but the deals aren't just for that day. You'll be able to find things throughout the duration of your cruise and be able to take advantage of some deals if you have some extra kind of budget left over at the end of the cruise to be able to enjoy kind of those extra amenities.
Do note, though, if you are a drinker or a big foodie and you are paying out of pocket a lot the first few days and you're like, oh, crap, that beverage package would have been cheaper, you can't, when you buy the beverage package, you can't, like,
get refunded.
Yeah, they're not going to refund you for your first few days. So if that's something that's important to you and you know you're going to just use it, do buy it the first day.
Yeah, and do the math. I mean, you'll always be able to see, okay, they're going to be charging me $300 for this package and each drink costs this much. So in order to get my money's worth, I have to drink this much. And if you don't think you can drink that much, then don't get the package. You know,
yeah.
Like, just do the math. It takes a couple of minutes. It does kind of suck because doing math on vacation is not cool. But if it ends up saving you money, it's totally worth it.
Lastly, build some downtime into your schedule. This is probably the tip we're the worst at. More so, I think, because when you're traveling as a family, you know, everyone has their own interest. Everyone has their own thing that they want to do. So it's like we're trying to make sure Santi gets to do what he wants to do. And then Nora has her little things. And then by the time it's downtime, it's like, but wait, I haven't even gotten on the Flow Rider and I haven't been able to do that. So I'm going to use my time there. But it's especially on longer cruises that are 7 to 9 days, when you're trying to wake up and jam all these activities into every day, you're going to wish that you would have just had a lazy day here, like one or two in there.
Yeah, because chances are you're getting home and getting back into the grind of everyday life. So you don't want to go back and say you are completely exhausted and then have to find time to recharge when you're back at home and back at work and all of that.
Yeah, so definitely try to find rest days. Other things that really aren't in the top 10 or like in our main 10 would be, I was always worried about how would we organize or how would we fit our stuff on the ship. But we found that at least our last two, it's a lot more spacious than you would think. My random tip would be empty your suitcases and put your suitcases under the bed.
Yep.
To create some extra space. But we haven't had any issues with space. We also travel, I mean, pretty light for traveling full time.
And in terms of the day where you get back off the ship, it's going to be a little bit hectic because
they
want you off very early because they have to turn the ship around and they will have new passengers that same day to set sail again on a new cruise. So there's a lot of options when it comes to kind of debarkation. You can sign up for the service where you have your kind of luggage already set and packed and you leave it outside your door the night before. They take it and then you kind of claim it at the baggage claim the next morning, and you'll be given a time in which you have to kind of be off the ship to be able to collect your luggage. You can do that, or you can carry your bags with you. For us, we had flights already where we had to kind of go straight from the cruise ship to the airport to be able to check in. So we couldn't necessarily rely on the baggage service. So we carried all of our things with us that morning at like 6:37 in the morning, just so we had enough time to get back off. You still have to go through immigration once you come back in. So, you know, make sure that you have your passports, make sure you have everything set so that that process goes by smoothly. And then you have to find a way to get back. You know, if you're staying or spending an extra time back at that port, check back into your hotel or head to the airport to head on home.
Yes. And it's just that last night I have failed at this twice. Two times in a row now. Try not to save the last night for your going out night. If you want to go out dancing or do whatever, try not to do it on the last night, because they want you off that ship pretty early on that very, very last morning. Mm-hmm. And it really sucks when you have two kids and you're really tired and you're trying not to be the slacking wife.
And that's really hard to do when you're on a family vacation. You might be reuniting with a lot of family and everyone might be really excited to kind of spend that last night together celebrating. But if you don't want to have to pay for it that next morning when you're tired and your kids, you know, they're grumpy because they got up early and you still have a long travel day ahead getting back home, just consider, you know, whether that's worth it or not.
If you can convince your friends and family to celebrate the night before that.
Right.
I haven't been able to conquer that yet, but Rod's been really responsible and gone to bed with the kids, and I usually go out dancing and guys, I don't recommend it. I always feel like horrible the next day and I don't even drink. I just stay out too late.
Just stay out. And, you know, there's live music, there's lively occasions and shows and so many things to be doing, even on that last night that you'll be tempted to do. Just, you know yourself. What is it that you want to do? And be ready for the next morning when you're going to have to get off the ship and get on home.
Of your vacation.
Right.
And travel all in the same day.
Yeah. So there you have it. That is our 10 tips for cruising. We've been on two cruises. Really three, if you consider our smaller cruise in the past kind of 4 or 5 months. And we've got more cruises that we're going to be having the honor to attend in the next couple of months as well.
Yes. So we are gearing up for more cruises. Maybe after our next couple cruises, we will even have more tips and tricks for you.
Yeah. But if you have any more tips that you'd like to share with us and with the rest of the community, don't hesitate to reach out to us at the Jet Setting Family. You can find us on Instagram. You can email us hello@thejetsettingfamily.com. And it doesn't even have to be a tip. If you just want to say hi, you know, have any questions for us or have any feedback on our show for things that you want to listen to or hear about, then we are more than happy to take all of your feedback as well.
So guys, that wraps up this episode of Cruise Tips and Tricks. Next week, we hope you tune in because we have a really exciting family that's going to come on our show and be interviewed by Rod.
Yeah, it is all about chasing world records that are travel related and how to make that transition from having kind of the 9-to-5 grind lifestyle to having kids, having a family, and transitioning to full-time RVing and going after a Guinness World Record along the way. So we're really excited to interview this family that's going to be giving us these really amazing tidbits into their lifestyle and the motivation that drove them to travel. So we hope that you subscribe on the show on whichever podcast platform that you listen to. Give us some feedback along the way. But until next time,
happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a Sonic Universe.